tonight. Say our Bible tonight and go back to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6. We started a message over in Judges chapter 6 today, this morning, preaching on Gideon. And preaching with a thought of when it's hard to trust. When it's hard to trust, but knowing that the Lord is there. And we looked this morning about Gideon. We looked at his life, how that it's hard to trust. And even though he had no reason not to trust the Lord. And there's a lot of times that we're just like him, even though no matter what the Lord says and no matter how many reassurances that he gives us, it seems that it is just hard to trust the Lord sometimes and do what he had have us to do. And we find Gideon, as we began to read this story, God had carried him off or had let him become in bondage and that to the Midianites because of their sin. And so God caused Gideon and that to deliver them and that from the Midianites. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. God could have easily and simply just delivered them out of the hand of the Midianites. God could have just said, that's the way it's going to be, and that's the way it would have been. But God chose Gideon and that to deliver them and showed us a great miracle and showed us that he's always faithful and that to his people when he calls us and that to do a work. Now I want you to notice as this angel come and talk to Gideon, we find right there as he said, the Lord is with thee in verse 12, thou mighty man of valor. And we looked about that, how that God knew what Gideon was, even though he was hiding from the Midianites in verse 11. He gives him in specific instructions when he said, go deliver them in verse 14, have not I sent thee? And so God chose in that Gideon, he was going to deliver in that the children of Israel. And all that Gideon wanted, after he began to make excuse for not going, as he said right here, he said, I have found grace. If I had now found grace in verse 17 in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. And we've seen this morning how that angel, how that Gideon made a cake and had some meat there, that kid, and that the angel just touched that rock with his staff and fire come up out of the rock and burnt that and made a sacrifice and that to the God of heaven. And he know that he got that sign and he got his answer and that from God. We looked at the first battle that Gideon had to fight, and that was one at home with his dad when he destroyed in that the altar to Baal and built an altar in that to God, and God delivered there. But I want to begin to read in verse 34 tonight, still preaching on the same thought. Now, you remember where we are in this story. Gideon has just now destroyed the altar of Baal and had built an altar to God. And that was his dad's. And as a matter of fact, it was his dad that took up for him when everybody wanted to come and kill him. We find here that he said in verse 32, as they wanted to come, he said, let Baal plead for against himself because he has thrown down his altar. But in verse 33, then all the Midianites and Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers to Asher and to Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Can I say something right here? He wasn't proven just once with the fleece. You understand that, don't you? This is the second time he's proven with the fleece. He said, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Help us while we may preach now for just a little while. And we'll tell you again that we thank you. Touch our feeble attempt tonight and help us. And Lord, that somebody might come and get saved, but also that somebody that is saved might find strength from you. Now I beg for your help for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so we find as Gideon has fought his first fight, we now find and that the inquiring of Gideon, he received instruction, but now he begins to inquire and that of God. In verse 34, you find that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And as he blew that trumpet, and all these men were gathered unto Gideon. He talks about how that Abiezer was gathered to him, and Manasseh, and Asher, and Zebulun, and Naphtali, all these men of these tribes. As a matter of fact, when we get to chapter 7, we find that there was 32,000 men ready to fight and go against the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the people of the east. And so he was directed, I believe that he was directed and that by the Spirit of God to do what he done. Can I tell you tonight, if you're saved, we are to be guided and that by the Spirit of God. He guides us and that by this book that I hold tonight. Friend, I'm glad that I've got a book. But more than just having a book, I've got a book that is a living book, and a book that the Holy Spirit takes and puts it in my heart and guides me in that, in God's will for my life. Listen, David, he talked about how as he prayed to God one time, he said, "Lead me in a plain path." Hey, I'm glad tonight God can make things plain where men you'll know them. Amen. And I'm glad he can give us assurance of what he wants us to do. But it is done, and that by the Spirit of God. Romans 8 said, "For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Listen, without the Spirit of God residing in you tonight, you are none of his. You must be born again, and that by the Spirit of God, and he will reside in our hearts when we get saved. Amen. I say amen right there, church. Hit me out tonight. Ephesians chapter 1 says that when we believe and that the gospel of the truth, he said we're sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise that comes into our heart. Thank God for the help that he gives us by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. John 15:5, he said, "For without me," in the very last part of that verse, he said, "For without me, you can do nothing." And tonight I'm going to tell you, Gideon is learning that without God, he can do nothing. But I want you to understand something tonight, that when God is around and God wants us to serve him in a particular manner and in a particular way, he'll always give us help and a way to do it, an assurance that's what he wants. And so we find that in verse 3, you find that there was 32,000 men in chapter 7 that come, and that to Gideon. God has said, "Gideon, I want you to go deliver." Is that not the first thing that he said back in this chapter over here? He said, "And now," he said, "go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he makes excuse, and then he wants a sign. And so God does that. God says, "Go down there and take care of the altar of Baal at your daddy's house." He does that. Had to go down there by night because he was afraid to do it in the daytime. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. God called him a mighty man of valor. How many times have we had to be poked and prodded, maybe to go to talk to somebody about their salvation, or maybe to go do something that God, we just know that God is impressing us to do that, but yet we struggle with it tonight. Have you ever been that way? I'm just being honest tonight. Have you ever been that way? I tried to be real honest with you this morning. I'm telling you, I struggle like Gideon a lot of times in trying to figure out what God is doing. trying to get me to do sometimes. But Gideon knows what he wants, what God wants him to do. And notice what he does here in verse 36. And so what he does, he said, and Gideon said, I love how he words this, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. Now God, you said you were going to do this. He said, if you're going to use me to do this, then here's what I'm going to do. He said, behold, I'll put out a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou hast said. So what's he do? He's trying God one more time, ain't he? He's asking God one more time, can you just let me know and give me assurance and reassurance that this is what you want? And you know what the Bible said right here? He said, and it was so. I believe that's what God wanted him to do. You know, God always makes himself known to us if he really, well, God, when he tells you to do something, he really wants you to do it. Amen. God don't do things by happenstance, and he don't do things in a whip stitch. And, he just don't do things because he's driven here and driven there. God has a motive behind everything that he does. You ever just seen folk that serve God at a whim sometimes? I don't think God wants us to serve him at a whim. I think he wants us to serve him all the time. Amen. But when God wants us to do something, notice right here that Gideon said, or the Bible said, and it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece a bowl full of water. I can imagine as Gideon went out there and he had that bowl, and you can picture in your mind with me tonight if you would. I can see Gideon, ever how you picture him. I can see as he took that fleece that sat out there on the ground all night long. And notice your Bible said he got up early. He wanted to know early what God had to say to him. Now, I'm not telling you to go put out a fleece tonight, because we do walk by faith and not by sight. I understand that. But I'm telling you, sometimes I just need God to let me know 100% that's what he's wanting me to do. And sometimes I want 110%, Brother Marvin. I mean, I really just want to know before I make this step, I want to know that's what God wants me to do. And so he takes that fleece and he begins to, as he picks it up off the ground, and somewhere he had a bowl with him. I don't know where the bowl came from, but somewhere he had a bowl with him. And the Bible said that he took that fleece, that sheepskin, or that sheep's fleece, and he began to wring it out, and he wrung out a bowl full of water. Reckon it looked like that right there? Reckon it was a bowl that big? My wife said, you reckon they had pretty bowls back in like that in time, you reckon? I bet as he took that thing and wrung it out, I can imagine how that he wrung that out. You ever think about that? I do. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I think about that thing. Let me set that up here. See if I can keep from getting my pulpit wet here. And I can imagine as he took that and he took it and he just wrung it out. Like that right there. Now I'm getting wet. But he just wrung it out. But you know what? Bible said he got a bowl full of water out of that thing. I got just a little bit out of it. But you know what? I think God was trying to make a point. Because see, not only did he wring out a bowl full of water. Not only did he wring out a bowl full of water. You know what else was going on right here? Notice what the Bible said. It said, and he thrust the fleece together, and he wrung out the dew. A bowl full of water. You know, when he wrung that out, that there was no dew on the ground. Because the Bible said, and so it was. So there was no dew upon the ground. When he wrung out that bowl of water, or wrung out that fleece that was made a bowl of water, and he looked around and he kicked his shoes through the grass and through the dirt, dust flew up. I believe God was trying to make a point right here. He not only rang out a little bit of dew, he rang out a whole bunch of dew. Sometimes God will make his point if we'll pay attention. But you know what, Gideon, we get hard on Elijah. I get hard on Elijah sometimes. I'll be honest with you, I do. But you know what? God was never hard on Elijah. You know, he went out there and sat under that juniper tree. And he wished himself to die, and he ended up running off. And he was afraid of that woman. And you know, the only thing God done is he sent an angel down there and baked him a cake and told him he's going to go out to many days, in the strength of that meat right there. And sometimes we get hard on these Bible characters and these Bible people and these Bible men and women thinking that we would have been different or we would have done different. We wouldn't have done no different than them. Bible talks about that Elijah was just a man of like passions as we are. If you'd be honest tonight, you've struggled in this life along this way. Now I'm glad it don't always a struggle. You ought to say amen right there. I'm glad it ain't always a struggle. But it does get that way sometimes. Well, notice what he said. So Gideon, now God's answered him by wringing out that fleece of water into a bowl and make it full of water. And Gideon said, "Let not thine anger be hot against me. Lord, don't get mad at me. And I will speak this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece." Now, I know what he's saying right there, but really this is twice. He's proved him once already. And he says, "Lord, if it's really you," you remember what he wanted? You remember you go all the way back over here in chapter 6, and you remember what he said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Lord, show me that it's really you." But then he says, "Lord, show me that this is really what you want me to do." He's inquiring of God and wants to know for sure. You know, he's fixing to put his life on the line is what he's fixing to do. You realize that, don't you? I mean, Gideon's fixing to go fight a battle. And he's fixing to invest everything that he's got into this battle. Thank you, Lord. So he said, "Lord, don't get mad at me. But can we do this one more time? But this time, let's do it in reverse. You let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet." So you know what he done in the morning when he got up? He took that fleece and this thing's dry, by the way. You say, "I can ring on it. There ain't no water in it." And I believe that thing was just as dry as dry could be. You see a little bit of dust coming off that thing? You didn't put enough powder on it, honey. Enough powder on it. I can see it. I don't know if y'all can or not. That fan's blowing it away. That's what it is. When he picked that thing up off the ground, that thing was just as dry could be. But you know, walking out there to get that fleece, his feet got just as wet as they could get. Y'all walk through dewy grass. Y'all know what I'm talking about. His feet got just as wet, but he had that dry fleece in his hand. I believe that God wanted him to go fight and that against the Midianites. And so at this point, I would think that Gideon would be ready and that to go fight. God has instructed him. He's inquired of God. And now as they've come to Gideon in chapter 7, you'll find that there's 32,000 men gathered unto Gideon. God said that's too many. Notice what he said in verse 2. "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." You know what he's worried about? God don't worry, excuse me. You know why God was fixing to whittle down Gideon's army so that they could not pride themselves and vaunt themselves against the God of heaven and say, "We done this in ourselves." But when we think we've done something for God and made something happen, we're just vaunting ourselves against the Heavenly Father tonight. When I think I've preached a good message, maybe I have preached a good message, but it ain't been me that's done it. All I've done is been obedient and a willing vessel. And I've done what God has required out of me. But I can't do anything in your heart tonight. I ain't do a thing in your heart. I know when God helps you, it wasn't all I done was my little part. I and the Holy Spirit of God worked in your heart and took this word and done something with it tonight. Wasn't me other than me just doing what He wanted me to. And it's the same for you tonight. Whenever He wants you to do something, whether it's go witness or maybe it's testify. I remember when Sister Kim and Brother Greg used to come to the church. And man, they wanted to sit on the back row. And she would not open her mouth in church. Would not. Just terrified to testify in church. You know, a lot of times on Wednesday nights we'll open the floor up. Maybe on Sunday nights. And occasionally on Sunday morning. But to take testimony time. If you want to testify. And I remember Sister Kim, she came to church that night, didn't say nothing to me. But for whatever reason, that night I got up and didn't open the floor. And I remember when we were leaving, she said, "Preacher, if you would have just opened the floor, I would have said something tonight." You know, when God wants you to do it, you just need to do it. Amen. You just need to do it. I mean, if you need to say, "Hey, preacher, just hold on a minute. I just need to say something right here for just a second." You can't wait. You always can't wait on me, friend. I'll just be honest with you. If you need to testify at the church, if you need to testify, testify. Amen. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. But what God's doing to Gideon is He's proving Himself over and over and over again, but yet Gideon is still having a hard time. We ain't done yet with this story. So he gathers them men. There's 32,000 men. God said, "That's too many." So Gideon told him, said, "Okay." In verse 3, he said, "If you're afraid or fearful," he said, "just go back home." And 22,000 men went back home. One message and the preacher lost 22,000 people. I always said, man, that's some message, wasn't it? That'd be bad, wouldn't it? I mean, he lost right at two-thirds of his army. Well, it'd be bad to lose two-thirds of the church over one message. That'd be better than what happened to John the Baptist. John the Baptist preached one message, got his head cut off too. Amen. But notice what he said there, and there remained 10,000. He's went from 32,000 to 10,000, and the Lord said unto Gideon in verse 4, "The people are yet too many, bring them down into the water." Man, what do you mean, Lord, there's too many? I mean, the Amalekites, the Midianites, and the children of the east, they're scattered out through there like grasshoppers, like the sands of the sea, and you're telling me that 10,000 people's too many. You're talking about messing a feller up. I mean, now just put yourself in Gideon's shoes here for just a minute. God's answered by the angel over there by fire when he licked up the sacrifice off the rock. He helped him in that go down there and destroy the altar of Baal and kept him from getting killed. And now twice God has worked through that fleece that was on the ground. And now God's telling me to get rid of 10,000 men in my army. So God told him right there. He said, "I will try them." He said, "Bring them down to the water." We're in verse 4 of chapter 7. "I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go." So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "Every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down to drink upon their knees to drink water." So what's going on? You had all these men, most of them, but 300 men, got down on their knees and put their face to that water and lapped up like a dog, while 300 of them crouched down and reached down in there with their hand and brought the water to their mouth. God said, "Those are the 300 I want to fight." So we went from 32,000 to 300. Well, you're talking about God going to have to do something. You're talking about getting beyond the ability of Gideon and 300 men. You know, when God calls us to do something, most of the time, it's not going to be able to do something that we can do. It's something that we can't do, and that's how He shines. You understand what I'm saying? Preachers, I'll just use us as an example because I know us. I've been one for a long time. We think we can really do something sometimes. We can get a message and we can preach that thing all over the country and polish on it and shine on it. And boy, I mean, we can get it memorized and get it all up in our mind. But I'm telling you, if God don't touch it, it ain't no good. Sometimes we think if we ain't preaching it to a crowd that we ain't doing no good. I can remember some of the best times that we ever had in this church was when I first, some of the best times I ever had. Let me put it to you like that. Now, I like having people in here. Don't misunderstand me. But you come in here on Wednesday night and there's 10, 15, 20 people in here, and you know that folk won't be here. They wouldn't be here. At that. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like tonight. You're here because you want to be here. There wasn't nobody drug you here tonight. You're here tonight because you want to be here. I mean, I'm telling you, it's good when God's people that want to get together and worship, and I mean sing and praise and say it and get something from God's Word. It does something to you. Helps me. So, God said, all right, you set them 300 by theirself. And He said, let every man go. So that's what He done. So in verse 8, and the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and He sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. He's up, getting his 300 men, and the enemy's down in the valley. So it came in verse 9 right here. Now notice what God's doing, how God encouraged Gideon. You say, well, God's already encouraged him enough. Man, how much encouragement do me and you need, and that from the Lord? How many times have you ever needed help and come to church and the preacher has preached on what you needed? I'll be honest with you, I had one fella tell me one time, and he didn't come to the altar that morning, but I remember him telling me this. He said, preacher, you done everything but call my name. That's when you know God's helping you, friend. I mean, I've had that happen. You get pinned up, man, on the Word of God. Now, I mean, and the preacher's following God and doing what he's supposed to be doing and preaching what he's supposed to be preaching. Listen, I'm telling you, God will do that. The preacher will do everything but call your name, but God will. Amen. He'll let you know. So in verse 9, it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, now talking to Gideon, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. All right, God said again, Gideon, get up and go. I've delivered it into your hand. You've seen me answer by fire on that rock over there. I've helped you with your daddy's altar over there. I've answered twice and that with the fleece upon the ground. But then God said this in verse 10, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with fear of thy servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward thou shall thine hands be strengthened to go down to the host. So he said, Gideon, if you're still fearful to go, I'm going to encourage you one more time. Go down to the host and just sneak up on them and sit down there and listen to what they have to say. So look in the rest of verse 11. Then went he down with fear of his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. I believe he was still fearful to go. He was still struggling to go, wasn't he? Well, if he was ready to go, he wouldn't have had to went down there and listen to what they had to say. And the Midianites and Amalekites, all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. When Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it, and it fell and overturned it, and the tent lay along. Now, let me stop right here. Let me park right here and say this. How was God talking to Gideon? He talks to us with that book with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's how He talks to us. I think God was talking to Gideon. I think God was talking to him. I be honest with you, I don't know. But I know that he was talking to him. He was letting him know what he wanted him to do. You know, kind of like how he talked to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Those men over there, the patriarchs of Israel. And by the way, Abraham is the father of us all, according to the book of Galatians over there. He's the father of faith. So God's talking to Gideon. He said, I want you to go down there. So that's what he does. And when Gideon, verse 13, was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So now you've got the enemy even saying, Gideon is going to take us. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof. Notice what he done, verse 15, that he worshipped. He did not go get ready to battle. And by the way, I understand we get worship and praise confused a lot of times. There is a difference between worship and praise. You need to study it in your Bible. By the way, they're spelled different. And they sound different. Worship, praise. Worship is out of the heart. Worship is out of adoration for what God has done. It puts Him where He belongs to us. It puts us where we belong. He worshiped. I believe He was on His face. If you look a lot of times in the Old Testament, when you find the word worship, you'll do a word study on that sometime. When you find the word worship in your Bible, most of the time you'll find them with their face on the ground. You find them praising most of the time with their mouth and on musical instruments and with their hands in the air. I believe He's on His face to the ground. You remember when David was on the run from Absalom and he got a little past the top of the hill? What did he do? He worshipped. When that baby died over there, he worshipped. God give him all, finally he got all the assurance that he needed. And when he got all the assurance that he needed, he could worship. You know what? When you get all the assurance that you need, you can finally worship. But you ain't going to worship till you get all the assurance you need. And you just need to believe God. Now I just need to trust God and believe God. And he returned to the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. First time he's ever said that. Remember when you finally said and went and done what God wanted you to do? Verse 16, he divided 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle of the watch, and they had put newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And then the Bible said this, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp. They stood there. They had that pitcher that was covering that light in their left hand, and in their right hand was a trumpet, and they smashed that pitcher and that light shined out and they blew the trumpet. Boy, is that not what we're supposed to be doing, is letting our light shine and sounding the trumpet? Now I understand he's fighting the battle, but we're supposed to be letting our light shine and sounding the trumpet. We need to be sounding the trumpet, man. Tell folk that Jesus is coming. I believe it's any day now. Amen, amen. I thought about that today. We believe he came the first time. Why can't we believe he'll come the second time? Amen. And so they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the hosts ran, cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah and Zerath, and on the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb. I wonder how that got its name. And Zeeb slew the wine press of Zeeb and pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. Look in verse 4 of the next chapter. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. I've got a message I preach on that. They stood there with a pitcher that was broke, that had a light, and blew that trumpet. And then they hollered out, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And they stood there. Now, did you understand what your Bible said right there in verse 22? And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. It's nighttime, by the way. Do you realize that a lot of that fighting that was going on down there in the valley, that the Midianites was killing the Amalekites and the children of the east were killing the Midianites and the Amalekites and they were killing each other. And here stand them 300 men. And as they got on the run, so did them 300 men. You know what God done right there? God done something that Gideon couldn't do. Second of all, God done something that Gideon didn't see how he was going to do it. Has God not ever done that for you? He puts you in a position and gets you in a position, and then all of a sudden God does something that you had no idea what he was going to do, but he done it. All he had to do was stand still. Seems like we've seen that a few other places, ain't we? Book of Exodus. He told Moses, you tell the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He told King Jehoshaphat over there, set yourself, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Then he killed all them three companies over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You know what we need to do? We get ready to go to battle. And then sometimes we just got to stand still and watch God work. But he did go fight. All them men of Israel, they came out and they put them on the run. And Gideon was chasing the princes. And in verse 4, he crossed over Jordan, he and the 300 men that were with him. But notice he was faint, yet pursuing. You know, we get into battle and we get into serving God sometimes. We get wore out and we get beat down in the service. But we keep going. We just keep pursuing and doing what God wants us to do. Five times. Was it five times? I'll call it four. Four or five times, depending on what you want to look at. God showed Gideon that he was going to be with him. And finally on that last time, Gideon had seen enough. And he said, I believe God. He said, I believe God. He worshiped and he went back to his 300 man army and he said, God has delivered the Midianites unto us. There's been a lot of preachers that have stood and made a lot of statements that that seems so unreal to maybe some of their church people or who they're preaching to. And maybe how God was going to direct the church. And I'm using this as an example. But you know what? I think about them 300 men. Think about them 300 men. They could see how many people was out in the valley over through there. And yet they were going to be faithful and go with Gideon. Because they believed that God had called Gideon to the work and to the service tonight. Maybe you're struggling tonight. I don't know. But God will always help us. Let's bow our heads tonight if we would. Brother Jeff, would you, let's come get a verse of invitation tonight. Kind of feel like we need to sing tonight. Kind of feel that way. How many times has God helped us? How many times? Now let me say tonight that if God is giving you encouragement and showing you what you need to do, and showing you the path you need to travel on, then you'll just go do it. Whatever it is, you just need to be faithful and act to do it. You say, preacher, I'm still not sure. And if you're being honest from your heart, and you're saying, I'm just not sure about some things, about the direction, and that's fine. If you're being honest and you honestly don't know, and you're struggling with that, God knows that. God knows that. He understands that. He understood about Gideon tonight. He understood about Gideon. Can I tell you something, church? He understands about us tonight, too. He understands about us. He understands that we're no different than Gideon was and that we just need some help. And maybe that's what you need tonight, some help. So, preacher, I just need some help from God tonight. I'm telling you, God can give you some help tonight if you'll come to Him. Lord, we love You and we thank You. We thank You that You've been so faithful to us and keeping us and watch over us and, Lord, to direct us when we needed direction. We thank You for the story of Gideon in the Bible that, Lord, You didn't chide with him or rebuke him and, Lord, You just didn't cast him away after the first time. But, Lord, You had grace with him and You encouraged him over and over and over again. And that to go do what he was supposed to do. And Lord, when he was faithful to do what he was supposed to do, You showed up in a mighty way. And Lord, let us realize that tonight. Oh, that how You show up for Your children tonight. And we thank You. As we sing tonight, if somebody needs to come, maybe somebody lost, I pray they get saved. If they need help, I pray help be found tonight. Just step in this invitation for Your name. Amen. And amen.